the Lord had placed some thoughts on my heart regarding this precious 24th chapter in Genesis. I believe God willing will be here for some time. And as you turn there, and as we begin this, I believe, a precious journey into this story of the bride for Isaac. I believe that most here are fully aware of the precious bridal type that's in this portion of Scripture. I'm thankful to the Lord that many have heard the sermon and read about the camels are coming. Praise be to God. But I have to tell you, I've just been rejoicing. Brothers and sisters, it's all in this chapter. It's all here. And I delight, I rejoice, I marvel at what the prophets were given, what they had written. And you know, those brothers knew that there was something there. And they wanted to look into it, as the Word of God said. But praise God that they wrote these things, they saw these things, and they wrote them for us. For us. For now. And praise God that His grace has touched us, encouraged us to look into the Scriptures, to know all the perfect and complete will of God. Because that's His will, not anything of us, but His grace. And we understand very clearly, follow Paul as he followed Christ. That Paul was given the vision, that God chose him, that vessel, enlightened the eyes of his understanding, gave him a gospel not of man in any way, shape, or form. And I think how Galatians has really set this precious portion of Scripture so up, but that's how the Holy Spirit does it. But he enlightened the eyes of his understanding to bring forth the message, the invitation, the love letter for the mystery of the church. For you, personally, to marry the Lamb of God. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I'm so excited as to what God has for us if he tarry in this 24th chapter. But I do want to make a disclaimer as we get into this. As wonderful as the Lord can touch us with these things and the Spirit encourage our hearts, and in that we can always expect, as sister even prayed, expecting from him, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. The light upon light that I know the Holy Ghost will bring to us through the beauty of Paul's gospel that we will see, I know, and counting him faithful, that we will see in this 24th chapter. I want us to understand that we won't even scratch the surface. I just want you to absolutely know that. That the best we're going to get is in a glass darkly. Now my hair is standing up on my arms thinking about that. He's given me a little insight to maybe what he's going to bring out tonight. And I believe by God's grace it's so beautiful, because it has to be, because it's him. But we haven't seen anything yet. How marvelous. I am so excited to behold him, aren't you? To look upon that lovely one, whom by grace our eyes will never ever see anything but him. Hallelujah. Praise his wondrous name. Now as we begin this 24th chapter, this 24th chapter occurs soon after the death of Sarah, Isaac's mom. And it is rich in type in this bridal message, brothers and sisters, that as Sarah passes, and now the emphasis is on Abraham finding a bride, a wife for Isaac, it is so a wonderful type of how when Jesus Christ died upon that cross and was resurrected, soon after that, the Holy Ghost was sent, and the plan to find the bride for him began. And as we know in the Word of God, matter of fact, it happened 40 days after his resurrection. But then, as we get into this too, I want you to notice that everything that God has meaning. And isn't it wonderful that it's not the 23rd chapter, it's not the 25th chapter, it's the 24th chapter. And as we study the Word of God, we know that the number 24 is the priestly number, the number of the full overcomers in Christ of the Old Testament. As you look into Revelation, we find that that's the number of the first company that's seen up in heaven, the 24 elders that are round about the throne. I believe fully that it's the cloud, praise God, that's with him, that meets her in the air. There's a groaning going on. Some of them graves were opened, praise be to God. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we see into this marvelous truth that these in this representation are of the worthies of faith that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. So let's go ahead and read the first verse together of the 24th chapter. And it says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." Now I'm thankful to God as you think of Abraham, Father Abraham, kind of the beginning of it all as God set forth a lot of things and that precious covenant with Father Abraham. And I'm so thankful that this beginning speaks to us of beginning. Again, we're talking about the type. Just as our Father, praise God, in heaven, beginning. And you talk about someone who is well stricken in years. Obviously, God the Father is not stricken in any way. But you go try to fathom beginning, and I'm sure you're going to get a lot of years. The parallels are wonderful, brothers and sisters, and I hope it delights you as well. But here we go, because it says, blessed in all things. Now you think about how God the Father is blessed. And your mind just blew. How blessed he is, how full he is, how we can't even imagine, because it says, "For eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for them that love him." And then by God's grace, as we will get into tonight, if he tarry, and I do mean if he tarry, I'm still expecting him to come before we're done. But we're going to realize that the blessing that he's blessed with is you. Do you realize that? Oh my goodness, the praises, the honor, the thanks, the rejoicing in his son. How that encourages, my goodness, and gives such praise and honor to the Father. Now, again, we look at this and we say, my goodness, Father, as we know as your son, it's for him, to him, do him. And that all was placed in your precious son. As the Word of God says, in whom all fullness dwells. And I was thinking how even the Word of God says, even in his face dwells the glory of God. Hallelujah. You talk about all in all. That's just who he is. So as this table is set for us, let's go on to verse 2. It says, "And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell." Now, brothers and sisters, here comes the purpose and the plan of God. In beginning, praise the Lord, the Godhead. And I'm so thankful as we see here, even in this scripture, you've got the Father and the Holy Ghost, this servant, this Eliezer, this type of this plan of God going forward. Just as we said earlier that Jesus Christ, when he died and was resurrected, as the word of the Lord was said so preciously through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to those disciples, he's with you and shall be in you, that Holy Ghost. He's coming. It's necessary. I've got to go to the right hand of the Father because I've got to send him. I've got things to tell you. I've got things to show you. I've got a plan, praise God, with my Father and the Holy Ghost that was set up in ages past that I'm going to take out from them a people for my name's sake. I'm coming for that goodly pearl, hallelujah. But it's going to be the work of the Holy Ghost. It's going to be that servant that's going to come out and give this message. And for those that are willing, he will take the things of mine and show them unto you. And praise be to God, we see right here that this conversation, this communion was going on. This precious Trinity, always conversing over the glorious Father's plan. Think about the Word of God. Let us make man in our own image after our likeness. Genesis 1:26. I remember there was a Muslim that I was dealing with on an airplane, and he was all friendly until, well, do you believe the Old Testament? Well, sure I do. We do. Whatever does. And I said, well, if you're telling me that it was only God, who was he talking to when he said, let us? As you can imagine, the conversation ended. Let us make man in our own image. Isn't that wonderful? After our likeness, God was not talking to himself. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something, that precious Holy Ghost is right there too. Amen. Now, let's go on. Many other places in the Word of God you think about how he gives us insight to. One of my favorites is Psalm 110:1. David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. I love when the Lord speaks to the Lord. How about you? Them some good conversation. All right? Then the Godhead swearing, as it says here. See? He says, and I will make thee swear by the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? An oath, this means, this swear. An agreement, promising their commitment to this plan. And it's the plan of the goodly pearl, brothers and sisters. There's a promise to this. This is the absolute passion of the Godhead, is a wife for the Son. Hebrews 6:13 tells us, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Isn't that awesome? And it wasn't that God was looking around. Praise God, I am. It's awful full now. He's got to hold you together, and by him all things consist. Praise God. Now, think about this thigh thing. Put thy hand under my thigh. In doing this, this speaks of strength. This was an oath, that a custom that the Jew would do with one another when this was a swearing, an oath, a promise. Could speak of fruitfulness because it was around the region, obviously, of procreation. But it also speaks of strength. And in that strength, brothers and sisters, you think of the promises of God. The promises of God are yea and amen. There's nothing more powerful than that. God says yes. I'll interpret that for you. It's coming like a freight train. That's the promises of God. You can't stop it because it's God's word. It's exactly what it will be. I'm so thankful. And God help us in all things, as I was visiting with a brother today, that we draw nigh in full assurance of faith, believing that there is no doubt to God's word. And it's not something that's afar off. The word lives in us, brothers and sisters. The life we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God. As we were rejoicing, and we've rejoiced in here, do you think about breathing? I don't know, since you've been sitting here, maybe you've taken 100 or 200 breaths. There might be some that do because they're kind of sick, I understand that. But for most of us, no, we never think about it. Do you tell your heart to beat? No, you don't. The life, more so, that you live now, because Christ lives in you, lives by the faith of the Son of God. Your life lives by faith. I don't care what you feel, what you think, what you're trying to do. Anything but faith is not who you are. It's not your life. And I thank the Lord for that, because that's just the lie of the enemy. Praise God. Now, we get back into this and we see that this thigh, again, speaks of strength. The promises of God. You think of the strength of the will and the power of the Father. And it is all wrapped up in love. And His love for us. For God so loved the world. You, me. That He gave. That's the power of God. That's the promise of God. I so loved. And that's the word of God, because God is love. Why does God do what He does? Because He loves. He gave His Son because He loves you. But that was just the beginning. We're looking into the plan of the ages. The ages. My son will have a wife. And I think of that precious promise. Praise be to God, brothers and sisters, the strength that this is precisely what He saw for us in Christ in ages past. In ages past He saw this. Hallelujah. The swearing, the complete agreement of the eternal Godhead. As God said to my God, as the Lord said to my Lord. Genesis 2, so precious. It is not good for man to live alone. They always saw the need, the plan for the wife, for the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, this is Paul's gospel. That's what we're reading here. And it's wonderful. It's marvelous. And you say, well, brother, I believe that, but my goodness, there's an excitement here. But there is. And the excitement all starts, praise God, in Ephesians. Amen? So let's turn over there in Ephesians chapter 1. And let's read verse 15. And you tell me, as the Spirit continues to strum this across our heart, is not this just what we have began to read? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I, this is Paul again speaking to these saints at Ephesus, this Philadelphia company in Ephesus. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints. So think again about these saints, what he's heard of them, the faith that they have. And if you go back to the very beginning of Ephesians, it says that they were faithful in Jesus Christ. I mean, full of faith. You talk about believers. And love to all saints. My goodness. I saw some heads drop. All right. But think about what he's saying here. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. But see, it didn't finish there, did it? We've just begun. Now I've got something for you. You're prepared. There's potential here. Because you believe the Lord. Because you're allowing the love of God work in your lives. But here's the plan. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Isn't that marvelous how we just read of the Trinity in that 17th verse? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and the Son, the Father of glory, again, the Father and the Son, He is glorious, isn't He, our Lord and Savior, may give unto you, and here we go, Holy Ghost, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So even though they were full of faith, even though they were had love for all saints, this wasn't accomplished as of yet, was it? Something more. Praise the Lord. You don't have to read into this. Just read it for what it is. And let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. Now here we go. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now notice how Paul, even in the 17th verse, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, he includes himself in this. And again, but now it's unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him. Unto you. Why doesn't Paul say unto us? Because Paul's already got it. Paul already sees this. Paul already has embraced this message. But now it's for you. Isn't that wonderful? That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why doesn't it say our? Paul already sees it. Praise the Lord. He's not boasting in himself. It's just what it is. Praise be to God. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling. They didn't know. They were full of faith. They had love for all saints. But they didn't know the hope of his calling. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They hadn't come into that yet. Isn't that amazing? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. Now, Paul back includes himself to usward who believe. Paul put himself right back there. I need this power. And that power is to us. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And praise be to God. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. How awesome. And this is so wonderful, brothers and sisters. And again, as we start looking at this, I do want to point it out again. The Father, the Son, and looky there, the servant. The one that Abraham was talking to. In type, the Holy Ghost, right there. And who's that servant? To go find her? To go enlighten the eyes of understanding? It's the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Yes, the comforter, brothers and sisters. The spirit of truth. Let's make the connection by God's grace. Let's go over to John chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, we'll begin reading from verse 12. Jesus speaking to his disciples. Now again, they have been with the Lord for 3 years. John has laid his head upon his breast. They've walked with him, they've talked with him, they've slept with him, they've ate with him. Most of the time, they never wanted to leave his side. You're the Christ, where else are we going to go? They got it, kind of, didn't they? But he says, I have yet many things to say unto you. He had more to tell him, didn't he? But he said, but ye cannot bear them now. Right? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. There he is, that Spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Spirit, praise God, that will enlighten the eyes of your understanding. The Spirit that will cause you to know the hope of his calling. Praise be to God. This is he. This is the servant, praise God, whom Abraham is seeking. I should say, is sending to seek out the bride, the wife for his son. That the one that will say, I will go, he will minister to her and tell her all the things of the master's son. How wonderful he is. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? All truth. All the perfect, complete will of God to be filled with all the fullness of God. This ain't close. This is exact. This is to know him. Complete, intimate. The fullness, praise God, of him. For he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That word show means to announce, make known. See, it was hidden, it was a mystery. But now they're empowered. The eyes of their understanding can be enlightened because of the Holy Ghost. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. As Brother Hill said, he shall take the things of mine and make them yours. You're already blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. You got them. What happens is he shows them to you. We go back to Galatians 4:1, don't we? You're a little Lord of all. It says you're Lord of all. You're born of him. You're Lord of all. You're the inheritor. That's it. But you will remain a nothing but the knowledge of a servant if you don't grow up. I was speaking to a man the other day who God had given a brand new heart to. He's had it for a year, and he gives Jesus the praise. I'm so thankful he knows him as Savior. And I said, and isn't it wonderful that now you can know him by knowing his word? And he looked at me and he said, you know, that word is a good thing and it's wonderful and all that, but the best part that we need to know is we need to know Jesus. And I said, the word was with God and the word was God. Do you see what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? People don't know the word of God. This is Christ. These precious pages. This word, this is Jesus. This is the forever. This is everything. Praise God. His Son. All things that the Father hath are mine. I love that. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And that's some awesome stuff. And all I can do is say praise be to God, brothers and sisters, because he has come. The Comforter has come. Praise the Lord. That day of Pentecost, he came for this. He enabled, ye shall receive power. The power to believe. The power to press on. The power to endure hardness as good soldiers. Because it's the power of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Amen? See, when you know him, you're going to know his love for you. And you're going to go. And you're going to go on. And you're going to be empowered by his grace because of love to be a full overcomer in Christ. You're going to sit in these pews by God's grace for years. And it's never going to grow old. And you're going to battle. And you're going to be ridiculed. And you're going to be despised. You're going to suffer things. Because he said, I want you to reign with me. And if you suffer with me, you'll reign. It's the gifts of the beloved to suffer with him. To suffer for his sake. Those are the wedding presents. And I'm not crazy. It's just his crazy love for us working in us kind of makes us crazy for him. Praise be to God. Now, he has come and is now in the process, if we want it, this Holy Ghost. If we want it, because truly in the word of God, it's he that wills to know will know, because it's the plan of God, it's the will of the Father that all men be saved and come to the full, complete, exact, intimate knowledge of the truth. So if we want this, he's right there ready to enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Amen? Amen. Even if we be otherwise minded, he'll make that known to us, won't he? That's how faithful and true he is. Fully equipped. Every provision has been given for us to grow up into him in all things. And that's why it's so exciting. To the plan of God that his son will have a wife. And it's so exciting because when you really see that, when you really see that, you know that that is yours. That it is as intimate of an invitation, it is as intimate of a proposal. It's as intimate as Jesus Christ upon his knee proposing to you moment by moment by moment. Amen? Amen it is. Praise God. Now, I'm so thankful that we can know then, as it said in Ephesians there, that we can know the hope of his calling. And that's just incredible. That again, these were saints that were full of faith. These were saints that had love for everyone. But they hadn't come yet into the message, in the knowledge, this enlightenment, to know the hope of his calling. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The vocation, the calling, that high calling wherein you should walk. Amen. That's our proposal. Honey, come unto me. We're going. Praise God. Get up on that camel. It's time to go. Now, to know the hope of his calling, and he tells us what it is. It's the riches of glory and inheritance in the saints. The exceeding riches of his grace. This is it, brothers and sisters. It's the glory and inheritance in the saints. It's in you. We rejoice in this and thank God for it all the time, but really let this hit you, how valuable you are to God. You're it. The inheritance, the many sons to glory. And praise be to God, we're touching on the double portion to him right now. And by his grace, he'll reveal a little bit of that tonight to give us a taste as we break into this. This is the Holy Ghost taking the things of Christ and making them mine. And the power of grace, brothers and sisters, that's what blows, it really just blows me away, is the power of his grace. That it is our all-sufficiency in all things, that we superabound to him in every good work. The all-powerful grace of God. His passion, his love, this Holy Ghost that takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in our hearts. What this does is it transports us from glory to glory, and we rejoice knowing that he's performing the good work which he's begun. That I am his workmanship. That, praise the Lord, you've allowed me to come into the knowledge of this rich wisdom of the hope of your calling, your inheritance and riches in me. That's awesome. It's reality. Sorry you have to go home if the Lord tarry. But I pray you know you do take this with you because he's given it to you. But praise the Lord that, see, this is right out of the home of Rebecca, right out of the family, right out of the camp, and places her in the midst of the throne, jointly ruling and reigning. And why? Because of the power of the love of Jesus. You think about that power of his resurrection that raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand of God. That same power, brothers and sisters, is the power, his love, that will set us into the midst of the throne with him, ruling and reigning jointly and being glorified together. And I'm thankful to God. I told you, it's all here. But again, we're just scratching the surface. Praise his name. Now let's get back into verses 3 and 4. He says, "And I will make thee swear by the Lord and the God of heaven and the God of earth, and thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." It is the father's, isn't it? I'm reading a lot of my's in there. And I'm so thankful it is his. And I'm so thankful I'm not my own, but I am his. Now, this bride, as we just read here, is not coming from anywhere else but the family of God. This bride is coming from God's family, saved ones. Amen. We understand that. And as a sister was rejoicing, and I'm so thankful how the Lord, again, it's just the Spirit, how these things come together. But it is my sister, my spouse, and the Lord's been bringing that out in a lot of different ways, whether it's the Song of Solomon, in different things, but it's just what it says it is. My sister, my spouse, out from the family of God is also going to come my son's wife. And in order to be his spouse, we must first be his sister. Amen? My sister, my spouse. Think about it. See, that's the double portion to God. Come on, my sister, my spouse. Stay with me on this. Born of God, born into the family of God. Praise his name. And did you know in Genesis 20:12 that Abraham and Sarah in the natural were half brother and sister? They had the same dad. That's no accident. My sister, my spouse. I guess you're going to have to chew on that one a little bit. It's mighty. It's over and over and over. You see? You see the double portion? Praise God. It's exciting. And again, we haven't touched it in the glass darkly. But he's so faithful to bring it to us over and over in so many different ways. But she's going to come out, as we're going to read, jumping just a little bit ahead, in an area called Haran. That's where she's drawn from. That's where he's going to send this servant to. And there's two meanings in this word Haran. It means burning and mountaineer. And I believe that burning and mountaineer so fitly describe the ones that say, I will go. There's a burning desire. There's a passion. Amen? Yeah. That I'm willing, by God's grace, it's not of you, but of God's grace, I'm willing to take up that cross, gladly willing, because of the joy that's set before me, Lord. You. How wonderful. I accept and receive fully that when you said that the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross, I know that was because of your love for me. And then I'm so thankful as well, too, that that word mountaineer, it's just what it says. You talk about hinds feet. You talk about going into the heights. You're talking about those hinds feet that so perfectly fit exactly into the footsteps that went before it. There's no missing. It's exact. That's why there's no slipping. That's why there's no fear. I always appreciate, and I don't know how many of you saw, they had that dam in Italy, I believe it was. And it was kind of taken from far away, and it looked like there were little trees or something in this huge wall. It was a dam. You know how they have it, they dam up the water, and it's like a big wall, okay? Like the Hoover Dam, you look at the side of it, and it's holding all that water. And you look in there, and it takes a picture from far back, and then the next picture is a little bit closer, and the next picture is a little bit closer. And as you start to get in there, you start to see, and I'm telling you, this wall, this dam wall is straight up and down. Little teeny crevices, but man had made this thing, and it was like a smooth surface. But as you started looking, as that picture started coming in closer and closer, and it was, I don't even know how high it was. It had to be 1,000, 1,500 feet high. You fall off of that and you're dead. And as it started to get closer, you could see the pictures of those rams. They were in that. They weren't stones. They were standing up there on a little piece of stone about this big that if they moved wrong, even an inch or two, it was to their death. How they got up there, I have no idea. I didn't realize that the rams could fly. How you got to where you are in the Lord, I have no idea. It must have been the grace of God. It must be that you were just built that way by a life that came to live in you that you've allowed to grow up. What do you think? Amen. Amen, amen. Now, these are the ones, the burning and mountaineers that say, I will go. And I'm so thankful that they do follow the leading perfectly of the Holy Ghost. They don't go out in how they feel. They don't go out when they want. Because as we know the story that's coming, we can't delay. We have to go now. There's no time to waste. Not even for some good things. Goodbyes. Come in and have a last supper. That could have been the supper that you missed it. We're going now. And praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. We're at the time. We need to move now. Jesus is coming. I'm so thankful. This world is spinning into more chaos. There are trials that are hitting this world, every family. The pressure's on. But we understand that this isn't a strange thing for us, that these are the final cuts. This is the fiery furnace that, as I told you about that glass blower that kept putting in that glass, pounding it up, it looked beautiful. And I said, oh, come on, it's done. And he'd stick it back in there again. After a couple hours I left, I said, man, that guy's never going to be satisfied with that. Well, let me tell you something. There's a time it's finished. There's a time that is, there's time no more. And it's just about here. He's going to pull that out one last time. And he's going to say, it's finished. Praise God. What a love story, brothers and sisters. And see, he's going to take her to a place of Hebron. That's where she's going to end up. And Hebron means communion. Communion. Oh, what a communion, what a union that's going to be, brothers and sisters. But let's go ahead and read verse 5. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Now, I believe that we can clearly see this is Jesus is seated right now at the right hand of the Father. He's with the Father. Amen. Just as Isaac is with Abraham. And this preparing till she meet the king, till she comes and meets her bridegroom face to face, the preparing is going to be solely the work of the Holy Ghost. It's only going to be that servant telling her. I always love that story of Esther. Honey, you get in there and you only bring and you only do what the keeper of the women tells you to do. And she followed him to the T. And those others might have listened to some of it, maybe 99% of it. And they came before the king, but they didn't ravish his heart. It was that one little orphan girl who took the instruction, who submitted completely, who said, I don't know a thing, but I'm having confidence in that I was told by the ones who love me. And matter of fact, in this, the one who loves me. This is what you do. This is what you take. You do nothing but receive of me. And now you go out before the king. And honey, he's going to give you it all. Because you're going to take his breath away. He's going to be ravished. With just one glance of your eye, he's going to be smitten. You talk about love. What a story. Now, the preparing is going to be that of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the one that takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in our hearts, brothers and sisters. And Christ Jesus is there to stay at God's right hand until she is ready, until she arrives, as we're going to see, until she comes lighting off that camel. And then he comes running across that field. And all I can think about is 1 Thessalonians 4. Because he meets her, he meets that company like no other company. He comes to see her, to meet her in the air. How wonderful. And verse 6 goes on to say, and Abraham said unto him, beware, thou that thou bring not my son thither. Again, and I love that, brothers and sisters, because this is the confirmation one more time that this race to win him is not by sight, it's by faith. It's by faith. This is how you see him. This is how and what the Holy Ghost takes. This is the things of Christ. This is it. The blueprint, your inheritance, everything. He takes this, it's yours, but he shows it unto you. He calls it, he announces it to your heart. See, we need that. Man can't understand this by reading it. It has to be announced, shown. That's the word S-H-E-W, revealed. And there's only one that can. By my spirit, saith the Lord. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? I'm so thankful, see? And God's no respecter of person. This is his will. I don't care if you hadn't had much schooling, can't read real well. I don't care if you had too much schooling. I do care if you think you know too much. But you come unto this and say, Lord, I don't know a thing. Now you're ready. Praise God. And stay right there. Lord, I don't know a thing. Praise be to God. Now this walk, brothers and sisters, this perfecting is completely by grace through faith. We know that. By grace by grace through faith. She must listen alone to what the Spirit saith to the churches. Right? He that hath an ear, did he give you an ear? You know he did. You're going to take heed to that ear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. This is it. And this is the Spirit speaking to the church of Philadelphia. That's what we're delving into tonight. I was just encouraged of my heart. I think about how people say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. Anymore, I just want to say, by God's grace, I'm a Philadelphia saint. Go look that one up. That's what I hope to attain to. That's what, by God's grace, I know he's called me to. But I know I haven't apprehended as of yet. But I do believe that he is faithful to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen. All right. Now, she must listen alone to what the Spirit saith to her. This is faith, brothers and sisters, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. Do you hope for it? Do you long for it? And not an if, but a when. When I see Jesus. You talk about the peace that passes all understanding. This is the message that does it. It takes everything in your life and it puts it in perspective. It makes it all the reality of realities. That the reason I breathe, the reason I go through anything, is because it's the plan of God that I win his son. And then it's the peace that passes all understanding. Because, Lord, by your grace, I can endure. I can press on. I can win him. Praise God. It's a light affliction. In that light, praise be to God. Now, brothers and sisters, he says, it's by my Spirit, it's by this word anointed of the Holy Ghost, our guide and light. Now, let's go ahead and read verses 7, 8, and 9, and we'll close with this thought tonight. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed. Now listen to this part right here. This is very sweet and important here. Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So now we have this angel with this servant. I mean, it's getting deeper and deeper. The folds and the onion and, oh my goodness, Lord, I just is praising him so much as, again, we look into this, and I'm grateful to God. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. Done. They agreed. Hallelujah. Now, this does drill it down, brothers and sisters. Sure, this confirms that our inheritance awaits by the grace of God. That it is joint heirs together with Christ. The inheritance of jointly ruling, reigning, glorified together with Jesus Christ. God has placed it all in his Son. And in that, praise God, the Son is sharing it all with his wife. But here, as we close this, I want you to notice this story of the servant, this Eliezer. But now we have an angel, a messenger going forth to take the wife. And I want to close by reading a little excerpt from Sister Bodie regarding this portion of Scripture. I believe that the Spirit touched this dear sister in such a precious way to concisely state what this is. After the burial of Sarah, or after the Jews rejected the gospel, it is the Apostle Paul who is then divinely chosen as the instrument for this great work. The gathering of the bride. Follow me as I follow Christ. He will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Amen? Amen. Now, as is clearly seen from the record in Acts of the Apostles, Acts 9:15, he is a chosen vessel unto me. That was the word of the Lord concerning Paul. He is a chosen vessel unto me. The Apostle Paul began the gathering out of his bride. He declares in 2 Corinthians 11:2, I have espoused you to one husband. This was Paul speaking to them. I have espoused you to one husband to present a chaste virgin to Christ. This is the Wildmouth translation, and I pray that we understand that the word of the Lord is rich and full. So stay with this. I am jealous over you with God's own jealousy, for I have betrothed you to Christ to present you to him as the faithful bride to her one husband. Paul's message engaged this woman by the working of the Holy Spirit within him, moving him to preach the truth that would gather this woman out of the church. He embodied this truth in the letters which he later wrote to the various churches. By an understanding and an appropriation of the grace which is contained in the writings of the Apostle Paul, this woman is being called out today and prepared to sit with Jesus Christ as his bride on the throne. Let's stand and be dismissed.